stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, August 22nd. We're back in the studio with you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Sammy, and everybody out there. What's going on?
What's going on? There seemed to be a lot of good news.
Yeah.
The stocks are up and Gaddafi is almost gone. Have you been following the news there?
No.
No, huh?
Not at all. I've been following the Kim Kardashian.
It's a huge fucking headlines all over the place.
You can tell me, Sammy. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, apparently the rebels have reached Tripoli in Libya, which is where Gaddafi is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that this is it for him. It's over. You're yawning already?
Don't say that on air. Come on. I'm awake. I'm ready to go. You're never bored.
I know. I was listening to the show the other day, and I was thinking, God, you were yawning like
I told you. That was like my worst show ever. I just kept yawning.
That was funny.
I don't know what the heck was going on. I think somebody slipped me something in the morning.
Probably.
In my coffee.
Yeah. Someone, huh?
Someone.
Okay.
I'm going to blame it on
somebody.
Some
mysterious someone.
Some mysterious somebody just slipped it into my coffee.
Yeah.
I have no
idea. Did you get a good sleep last night?
I don't, a little bit, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Did you go to sleep early, late?
What time did I go to bed?
Remember.
I don't even remember when
okay,
I fell.
I don't even know.
No, you?
I take the question back.
I don't know. Every day is just blending together for me. It's just like one long constant.
Yeah. Like same shit, different day. That's what they say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you.
Right?
Same thing. Oh, yeah. Here is the big headline, Battle for Libya. Of course, you know what I go to? What does Steph go to this morning?
Kim Kardashian,
yep,
right?
Yeah, sure did.
I didn't even know the wedding was this weekend.
I thought it was in September.
Really? Did they surprise everybody or what? I mean, did they change the date?
They surprised me. No, yeah. I don't think so.
No?
But I have to say, I don't think so. I think this was always... Wait, what's the... Yeah, and well, yeah, because they had like 400 guests there, so I don't think that they're going to change it.
No. Well, maybe they told everyone it would be earlier, and then they told the press it was going to be later or something. Who knows?
I don't
Probably
know.
Not.
Maybe
no.
not. But you know what?
It's,
they always find out.
It's good that we don't know these things, you know?
Why is it good? It's not good.
We don't need to know when Kim Kardashian is getting married.
I was just watching this video of this reporter that was reporting on the Kardashian wedding like a day before. And this kid comes behind her.
Mm-hmm.
This like young boy must be like 8. And he was like making faces on camera like behind her the whole time. It's so freaking hilarious.
It was distracting to you.
Well, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this wedding is ridiculous. But you
is
know.
It really?
Well, it's just $10 million she spent.
Really?
$10 million
wow.
on this wedding. I know, right?
Like, what the fuck?
You could do so many things with $10 million.
I know. How many people can you help, you know, with $10 million?
A lot.
That's a lot of fucking money, you know?
Yeah. I completely agree. That's a lot of money to spend on a wedding. It's 6 hours of your life, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then you're going to get divorced and all that
money. I know, right?
Down
how long is this going to last?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I hope it lasts for them. I do.
Yeah, you never know.
It, you know, whatever. It's it is what it is. But I hope it lasts. She seems happy. He seems happy.
Yeah.
That's all that
well,
matters.
Everybody seems that way on their wedding day. Come on.
Well, there are a few that have not been too excited on their wedding day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's been. Well, like they always show Bridezillas on, it's the show on the WE Network.
Uh-huh.
And it's about just. What I was saying, bridezillas, these women are just crazy, and they go crazy about their day. And a lot of them are crabby on their wedding day.
Oh, yeah?
Because things don't go the exact way they want to. They're just so... They're just so angry and mean and like, I mean, how much of this is really for show and how much of this is real? I don't know, but it's still, you know, whatever. It's it's pretty funny though, I have to say. I do watch it. I do get sucked into the drama of it all.
Yeah. Now, one of her sisters married too, right? Or both of them?
Just one of them. Chloe is married to Lamar, the Lakers basketball player.
Oh, I see.
And then Courtney is dating this guy, Scott, who she has a son with, but they're not married. And he... Okay.
Is he also an NBA player?
No. He's just like... He's some guy that's freaking loaded beyond belief. He comes from money. Like, his parents live in the Hamptons, and... He comes from so much money, and he's kind of a dick, and he's like got a drinking problem, and I mean, but he's getting better. Look at me, he's getting better because I know him so well, and we're besties. No, he's getting better though. He's mellowed out on his drinking. So I wish them luck. Yeah. I hope that, you know, but they'll probably get married. I mean, they have a son together, so we'll see.
Mm. Okay. I guess we're not really following that, but whatever happens with those sisters, whatever.
Who cares, though, really?
So as long as she's married, we don't have to hear about it anymore. So
done.
Yeah.
The royal wedding is done.
Did you see her dress? I mean, do they show her dress?
They only showed the top of it. I mean, well, they kind of showed it a little bit, but not in the reports that I'm seeing. Mm. But, I mean, she looked great. She's a beautiful woman, you know? So... You know, good for them. They're happy.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
I wish them all the best.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, why not?
Why not, Sammy?
Yeah.
So your wife comes back tonight.
My wife's coming back tonight, and that's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I've been getting pretty lonely being by myself and stuff. Although I spent some time with the kids yesterday. That was fun. And it's good. You know, I don't know why I still call them kids. I mean, they're 21 and 18, but they're my kids. I mean, kids is better than children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you can say kids.
They're my adult kids.
They're still your kids.
Yeah.
So you can say that. You're allowed.
But when you say it, you know, you say, oh, I spent time with the kids. People think they're young, you know?
Yes and no. I mean, I guess if they know you, though.
Yeah, if they know you, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you talk about your kids a lot on here, and you say that, you know, how old they are. So I think you can say kids.
Okay.
I think you can.
Yeah.
I call my nephew a baby still, and he's like a little boy now. He's 4 years old, you know? And my sister-in-law was like, how's the little baby? And she's like, you know, you can't call him a baby anymore. I'm like, oh, but he always will be to me. He's my little man, you know?
Uh-huh.
I love him dearly.
Did I tell you about these people that moved in our building and they have a crying baby that cries all the time?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. And it's not crying. It's whining and nagging. And it's so loud that I can hear it. I mean, they're like all the way around the building. But they obviously have their windows open all the time.
Yeah.
And this kid just doesn't stop. Now, I don't know how old he is. I don't think it's a baby.
Yeah.
It's probably a toddler or something, but obviously that's the only way he can communicate.
Yikes.
And, oh, man, I mean, it's like all hours of the day and night. And, you know, on the one hand, you look at the parents and you go, what are they doing wrong?
Right.
On the other hand, I think kids are just born that way, you know?
Angry?
No, but whiny all the time or something, you know? But it's like, you know, I mean, I feel sorry for the parents. How can you live like that all your life, you know? But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't get mad. Maybe he's autistic or something.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and who knows what the hell's going on.
He could be autistic.
But at the same time, you know, you can't disrupt the whole fucking neighborhood because of your kid.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I understand that, but you don't know what's going on with them. You know? There could be...
No, I don't know what's going on with them.
I know it's frustrating, though.
Yeah.
You know, kids crying and screaming all the time. It's a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's the price you have to pay for living in an apartment.
Maybe you should get to know them and see what's going on.
No, I don't think so. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just...
Because then I'll start judging them and give them advice what to do with the kids.
Maybe then that'll help. Maybe that'll help you. Sam, my dad just writes, Sam, you're describing me because I cry and scream all the time. Thanks, Pops. You're such a jerk. I was fine. Well, actually, I was kind of a terror. I used to cry and scream a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of a terror.
You still are.
I know. I'm still such a messed up person. I have so many issues.
Well, don't we all, you know, don't we all? That's why we come to this world, to deal with all this shit, you know? Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be here.
That's true. You learn the lessons. Sometimes some are harder than others.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lessons I'm learning at this point in my life.
And yeah, you know, I mean, if life was so simple and we coasted through it, it wouldn't be interesting.
Yes. Sometimes I think it could be a little bit easier than it is. But you know what? I feel like I'm of the mindset, though, that, you know, you create what happens. I feel that way. Mm. And the more I study spirituality and whatever speaks to me, I see that the more I do create it. And it's to learn the lessons that you need to learn, you know?
Right.
So it's like for me to complain about things, I'm like, I can't complain about it because I created it. You know what I mean? So it's just sometimes you forget about that. I don't know. That's my way of looking at it. Therefore, I don't blame other people for my misery or what I'm going through. And you're not playing the victim card. And I think that's a lot easier way to live.
Right. But, you know, I don't think you create things. You know, I mean, what happens when people victimize you? What if someone hits you on the road or something, you know? That's not something you created, but it's something that happened to you. So, you know, what we can control, I think, is how we react to situations.
Well, and, I think it's certain energy. Like, if you're, you know, I've noticed, like, when I've gotten in car accidents, like, whether it's my fault or somebody else's fault, I'm holding this chaotic energy. You know, it's chaos. And I see that, like, I can honestly say that I've actually looked back and I've seen that that is true, at least for me it is, you know? And so it's not that I want that to happen, it's just, it's also the energy that you're holding. If you have really chaotic energy, you know, you're going to create chaos in your life.
Yeah.
Drama, dramatic energy, you're going to create drama in your life, you know?
Okay.
I don't know, that's just my...
It's your view of the world.
And it's just it's an easier way, and it's an easier way than to deal with things, you know, because if you're like, look, I can, you know, I create this, then, you know, then I can get out of it too. Because, you know, when things happen to you that are a little rough, a little heavy, and you're just like, I don't know if I mean, more so women do this. I don't know if I can live through it. I don't know if I can get through this. Whatever. But the fact of the matter is we all can get through it. It's all temporary. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal. And yes, you know, it's how you react to things. Absolutely. So, you know, for me, I feel like if we have the power to change that and create that, then I look at it as an easier way to deal with things and find a solution and not live in the problem, you know?
Right.
That's my thinking.
Oh, God, you spiritual people, you make me crazy sometimes.
Why? Why do I make you crazy?
No, because all this manifesting and stuff, you know, I don't believe in that.
You don't have to believe in it.
I know.
It's you know, it's whatever speaks to you.
Exactly.
So that's just the way I look at it, but there's no...
And I respect that.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong here.
No? Know?
You learn as you go, but at least it
works
for
me. There is right or wrong. We just don't know what it is.
Well, I think there's right or wrong for you, and I think when you harm people, that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I don't know. It's hard to say what's right or wrong because to everybody it's different.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I suppose, yeah.
Anyway, that's my lecture for the day.
Yeah. So I've been reading more on Scientology.
Yeah, here we go.
And it's getting pretty interesting. I mean, you know, I would have to bring the book to explain to you this thing.
Could you?
But no, because I'm not going to go through it on the air. But no, I mean, I'll explain some things to you. I mean, first of all, this guy, as we all know, was a science fiction writer. And then he decided that he's going to write books on self-improvement and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it started. You know, he first called it Dianetics.
Right.
And he wrote the book and everything. And it did create some kind of commotion in the country. You know, I mean, it was like, it's not like nobody knew about it. So he started like opening up offices around the country and even in London, and he was giving people like therapy, but you know, it was like a whole organization stuff, but he did not start it as a religion. He later made it into a religion when Dianetics, like the people that worked with him, sort of like took it away from him, and he was left without it. So then he started Scientology.
Okay.
And that was a religion, and he figured he was getting tax breaks and everything.
So why not?
So he, yeah, might as well do it into a religion.
So my question is, Dianetics, or Scientology is based on Dianetics. So Dianetics was just a self-help thing?
Right.
And then who took it away from him? I don't understand that.
He had partners and stuff like that. You know, in business it can happen sometimes when, you know, you can boot out the
okay. So that's what they did. Yeah. So his business was Dianetics, and then his business partners booted him out.
Right.
And then he started Scientology.
Right. And the amazing thing, I mean, he was not a very nice man. You know, I mean, he conveyed to the FBI that his wife and his partners were communist and shit like that, you know, during the McCarthy era. And when everybody was hunting down communists in this country,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was like a paranoia big time. So so this all happened 1950-1951 when he started all this.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know, one thing you have to give him is he's a very good salesman, he's a good businessman,
right.
And cuz he figured this out, you know.
Right.
And every transaction that happened there, he would benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
He would get percentage from, you know, books, tapes, appearances.
Right.
All bullshit.
But okay, go ahead.
No, so go ahead.
So, okay. So, my question though is the Dianetics thing. Is that was like the self-help that was based on science fiction? Like, what exactly?
No, it like tries to analyze spirituality and stuff like that. It was based a lot on Freud and things like that.
Jesus.
That you went through traumas in your life. That it's a trauma to be born. You know, during the birth process, that's a trauma. So he believes in sending people back, you know, in the years.
To go deal with it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then... Yeah.
Regress. That's what they call it.
Okay, so that's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they were teaching people how to deal with all these traumas
mm-hmm.
that happened in your life.
Okay.
And so it had to do with hypnotism and taking you back and so forth. And apparently with some people, it really fucked them up, you know. So I don't know how many people it helped, but some people really...
really got fucked up?
Yeah.
Is that in the book? That's what it says? That's awesome. But then he continued to create a religion out of it, claiming that this helped people, but it really fucked people up.
Yeah, well, the religion, I don't know. I mean, I'm just at the part where it was just started, but I can tell you he did it for tax purposes.
That is such crap.
Yeah. You know, but
that
then,
makes me angry.
And he figured, you know, if you make it into a religion, that people will take you more seriously and shit, you know. So I don't know, but
that's crap. Yeah. That makes me angry about it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's, you know, he started it on tax break, and I understand like people have to make a living, but then you're gonna sit there and say that you're gonna help people, and this is so.
Well, he believed he could, you know, and all the people that worked for him.
But
you have to understand, none of these people were therapists. They're not certified anything. You know, they're there to provide therapy for you.
Wait, what? Say that again?
I said that these people that do the what they call auditing.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
auditing?
They call
Jesus,
it auditing.
Like IRS. It sounds so not fun.
I know. It does.
Jesus. Pick a better word. I think when somebody says you're being audited, I'm thinking IRS because I've been there and it sucks. Every second of it sucks. So maybe pick a better word next time, guys.
I know. But what I'm saying is none of these people are certified therapists or not. They're not trained in anything.
Right. And then they can sit there and pass judgment on you and hook you up to these brain waves and look at your brain waves.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I mean, he used to do that. And
yeah.
That was a,
you think I was kidding.
It was a lie detector, though. And they called it the E-meter. And they tried to, but it's more like a lie detector. I mean, it measures your bodily temperature and sweat and all that stuff, you know.
So, it's a lie detector? So you sit down.
Well, it's similar to a lie detector.
Okay.
They did not use it in that way, though. You know, they wanted to see how stressed people are and so forth.
So then, do they don't believe in treating you with medication? Because I know that they're against that.
Right.
They're against psychiatry.
Right. Well, Okay. I didn't get that far.
Well, there's a couple of places on. There's one on Sunset that's like, it shows like psychiatry is bad, and it's like a whole museum dedicated to showing how bad psychiatry is. And
really?
I kind of believe.
Is that the Scientology Church?
Yeah. They're part of it. So they don't believe in that. I do know that.
Right.
And I heard Kelly Preston speak about it one time. And I do, to a point, understand, like, they don't believe in medicating children for issues. And I do understand that to a point. I think, though, there's probably certain cases that you need to, that kids need to. But these doctors that just shell out medication for kids left and right, you know what I mean? Just to make a buck or two. It just, that I'm not okay with.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy for doctors to write prescriptions.
No, it is. I would just like to believe that doctors are more, have more integrity than that.
But that doesn't happen.
No.
Let's just talk about the truth of it. It's true. I mean, there's a lot out there. There are some really great doctors that's what they want for their patients. They want to really care for them and be there, and some of them aren't. I mean.
But that's the doctor's job, is to dispense medication when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But I know a lot of doctors that you go in there and you're like, oh, my foot hurts. And they're like, here's some pills.
Really?
Like, they don't get to the bottom of it.
Right.
It's just they don't want the time. I mean, there's some holistic doctors that you go to that, you know, you pay out of pocket. And it's a lot of money. But you know what? They're there to help you and really get to the bottom of it. I'm not saying all doctors in Western medicine, but a lot.
Mm.
And it's sad to think, you know, because you really think that these doctors are there to help you.
Right.
Just like cops, man.
Right.
But I hate cops more.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I was thinking that, you know, if the kid needs the medication, then you give it to them.
Right. But is it always necessary? Like, I think that there are instances where kids do need to be medicated.
Right.
You know, that's kind of beyond anything that anybody can help with, you know?
Right.
But.
Yeah. Like that kid, my neighbor's, needs to be medicated, for crying out loud.
Okay.
Get him to stop screaming.
Maybe. Maybe you should bring some medication over.
Yeah.
There's a housewarming gift for them. Here's medication.
I'll tell
for your
that's
kid.
My diagnosis. Here's the medication.
Exactly. Welcome to the apartment complex. They would be so thrilled to have that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No, but I think, you know, I think there's a lot of times that, you know, people, kids need it, and then there's times that they don't.
Mm.
Like, I don't know how I feel about ADD. I don't know how I feel about that.
No?
I don't know.
You don't think it's real?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
There's times I think that, you know, there's kids that act up and whatever. But then majority of the time, I think that people and children are just bored.
Mm.
And they can't find something to focus on.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they act up and they're crazy and they can't pay attention to one thing. And
probably, but it gets in their way of progress. You know, they can't focus at school. They have bad grades and so forth.
I don't know.
So there's got to be something there, Stephanie.
I don't know. This is what I'm saying. I'm being honest. I don't know how I feel about it.
Mm.
There's times that I think that there's medication that should be used, and then there's times that I don't.
Mm.
But I just think it's like so easy to just for these parents to be like, oh, my kid has ADD, I'm just going to go get pills. Like, they don't
That's
really,
true.
Like, that upsets me. Like, you know, and doesn't really take an interest in the child's life and really get to know them and what they're about and what they enjoy, you know? And I feel like that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's easy to judge parents too, you know?
I'm not.
Until you're in their shoes and you realize, wow, you know, I'll give this kid anything. And, you know, I think if I grew up and I had if I was an unhappy kid, I would probably go to my parents and ask, why didn't you do something about it? You know, why didn't you medicate me? Why didn't you do whatever I needed in order to be a happy kid?
Right.
You know, I think. But if you're not sure about it, just read a book or two on it, and that'll give you some things to think about.
Yeah. No, I mean, I should be more enlightened about it, but if that's the right word I'm looking for, but I should be more knowledgeable about it, I should say. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, then I look at something like these kids that did Columbine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, my family and I, we had a family that we were friends with that were in it. Like, one of my friend's Beth was in Columbine.
Really?
Was in the school when it happened.
Wow.
And she thank God was okay, but she lost a couple friends in it. Mm-hmm. And I remember when it happened, like, we tried to get through to them for a couple days and we couldn't get through to them. And, you know, so we were terrified that they were in it because they lived right there and we knew Beth went to that high school.
Right.
And, you know, then I look at these children that did this mm-hmm. and how unhappy they had to have been and how messed up they had to have been. And it's like, I'm not, you know, I don't like to be judged. And I don't like that people judge, but you have to look at the, like, how do the parents not know that anything like this is not going on in their kid's life?
I'm telling you, it's hard when they're teenagers. You don't know what the hell they're doing.
But there's no signs. Like, I would have to believe that there has to be some kind of a sign. Some kind of a sign, if you look back, that these parents look back and say, yes, here is a clear sign. Mm-hmm. I should have thought about this. I understand what you're saying, Sam, because as teenagers, we're pretty secretive. You know,
right.
We're trying to find ourselves. We're not really totally happy with who we are. And I think that we're trying to find ourselves when we will for the rest of our lives until we leave this earth. But I don't know. That's just, I don't know. I can't believe that a parent can't look back and see, yeah, there's a sign. I don't believe for one second that there aren't little signs here and there. Mm-hmm. And it's whether it's their job to either do something about it or not do something about it. And that I'm not going to judge that because I'm not a parent.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, like, there has to have been signs.
But what kind of a sign would you look at?
I don't
at?
Know. Mm-hmm. I this is what I'm saying. Like, I don't, there, I just can't think that, you know, if these kids are really that unhappy or, you know, like, okay, Hitler. Mm-hmm. Okay. I started reading Mein Kampf in high school and he, you know, his obsession with the Jews started at a very young age, getting rid of them. I mean, he was threatened by every single race besides the Aryan race, but he was most threatened by the Jews. Mm. You know, they were the money makers. They had everything and he wasn't. So that was difficult for him. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he started drawing pictures of him massacring Jews when he was a kid.
Really?
Like, how is that not a sign? And this was,
well,
school.
No, that's obvious, obviously,
right.
You know, but With some kids, maybe you can't see. Although, you know, I agree with you that parents should be involved and know what the hell is going on in their kids' lives. But you never know. You never know, and you do the best you can.
You do the best you can. You do. I'm not necessarily blaming these parents. I can't sit here and point fingers. I'm not a parent. I don't know what they were going through.
Right.
I just find it a little difficult to believe that there were absolutely no signs. There usually are.
Right.
And, you know, to ignore them is like, that's huge. And then look, something so tragic like this happened.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, there's not much you can do. There's someone I know whose kid was arrested over the weekend, pulled over, no driver's license and under the influence.
Ooh.
And, you know, you have to say, well, how could the parent have prevented that? You see, it's, you know, the kid's 18, 19 years old. What are you going to do?
Right. I understand that.
You can guide them. You can hope that you've done well. But they're so influenced by their peers at this age that they just do stupid things. And I know I talk to my son and stuff, and he still does stupid shit. And he's smart.
Yes. But, okay, so we're going to go back here for a second because I think that this is very important. Yes, I will agree with you in the sense that kids are easily influenced by their peers. I believe that.
Right.
Me is me. I think that it's very important to, though, instill in your children at a young age, from the moment they're born, that to develop their confidence, their sense
right.
of self.
Right.
And a lot of times that doesn't happen.
Right.
And so kids look elsewhere and they're going to look to their friends to find what they're missing. And, you know, for me, I had a lot of issues in a lot of ways, but I feel like, you know, there was a sense of self that my parents helped instill in me. You know, a sense of confidence. They put me in a lot of things, extracurricular activities, you know, so I could enjoy things that I could do, that I could really feel good about myself and things that I was really good at, you know. And I think that that's important. And I think that when you instill that in children, they don't have to look elsewhere and listen to kids, you know, to influence their life or to make them feel good about themselves.
It makes sense. You know, I mean, it's logical. It makes sense. And I, for the most part, I support that. You do have to have a great foundation within your family.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I do feel that as they grow older, they sort of like grow away from that. So, I mean, but there are some certain values they're not going to compromise on. And you can see that, you know, as far as being a decent person and being a good person, you instill this in them and they stay that way. Mm-hmm. They really grow up to be caring people.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I think these ages that where they're very vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
can make them do stupid things. It doesn't mean that that's their personality,
mm-hmm.
but they just do things at the spur of the moment.
Right. No. I mean, but a stupid thing is mm-hmm. like, yes, like, you know, stealing a piece of candy from a store.
Right.
You know, a stupid thing is not going out massacring kids in high school with guns, you
yeah.
know, and taking
yeah.
their lives, or getting in a car and driving intoxicated and risking your life as well as other people's lives.
Right.
That's a bigger deal here, mm. you know? And I think that we're all going to make mistakes, and I'm not, I mean, Jesus, I've made so many mistakes in my life, and I'm going to continue to, you know, and it's how you learn, but it, you know, at some point it's like, I don't know. I understand both sides of it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that from the get-go that installing self-confidence and a sense of self in your children is very important to carry
right.
on throughout their lives. And you're doing them a favor and you're helping them and you're guiding them as a parent should do, I think. You know, I'm not a parent, but I'm guessing that that's something that I'm going to take, you know, a lot of pride in and really work on and make sure that I'm there for my kids, you
right.
know. But yeah, I mean, all kids are going to do stupid things. It's just what's going to happen.
Right.
You know?
And it is scary.
It is scary, and I'm sorry to hear that. You know, that your friend's son did that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
he's okay, right?
That was actually a girl.
Or a girl.
Yeah, which is hardest to believe.
I know. Immediately went to a guy.
Kind of shit. I know.
I immediately went to a guy.
Yeah, well, many people do. Now, to change the topic a little bit.
Yes.
Who do you think gains more weight after they get married, men or women?
Women. Oh, women.
Women, right?
I'm going to stick with women, yeah.
But they're saying after divorce, men gain more weight. Because they're
really?
Saying, yeah, they're saying while you're married, your wife keeps you in shape and all that stuff, which I don't really agree with. But at the same time, it could be, I mean, not because in my case it's not happening, but
mm-hmm.
because I don't think that... that it really means anything. I mean, if you don't want to lose weight, you're not going to lose weight.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if it helps when your wife tells you. At the same time, though, I did want to discuss the fact that women do gain weight after marriage.
Uh-oh.
It's happened to me in relationships, too. It's not just in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
When a woman knows that she's got someone now, she kind of lets herself go. They're saying that it's not because of that. They're saying because women get bogged down by, you know, taking care of the kids and maintaining the household and so forth, which maybe makes sense, but I don't find that as a good excuse.
I don't agree with that because my mother was just a housewife. Like, that's what she wanted to be. She wanted
right.
to take care of kids and clean the house and just be there for my father.
Right.
And my father was the financial support. He still is. My mother was never fat, never has been fat,
yeah.
has always taken care of herself, eats. I mean, my dad is skinny too. They're both, you know,
yeah.
super skinny. They exercise all the time. But my mom has never, ever gained weight in her life. Like never has always taken. And she's not crazy when working out. She just works out and she feels good and she eats good. And that's
right.
And I think she wants to look good for my dad.
That's
you know?
Great.
So
that's great.
I think it's
for herself too.
Yeah, I think it's a crap.
I tend to think it's because once they land a husband, they probably don't care as much about looking attractive to other men.
Right.
And they sort of let themselves go. You know, they figure I'm not in the market anymore. So.
Well, yes, and I will agree with this, but I want to say I saw the movie Crazy Stupid Love last night.
Oh, you did?
So good.
Really?
Oh, God. It's so good. It's so, so, so good. Great cast, great writing, great everything. I loved it. Loved it, loved it. So, but there was a part, this is going with our topic, but there's a part in there. So Steve Carell is married to Julianne Moore.
Uh-huh.
And at the very beginning of the movie, they're having dinner and he thinks everything's fine. And she's like, I want a divorce. Mm. And they're at a restaurant, right?
Yeah. And that's usually the case. The men think everything's fine.
Right. Like my ex-husband did. And then I was like, I'm leaving you. sorry. But, oh my God, sorry. But, so she was like, she admitted, she was like, I slept with somebody and, you know, I am so unhappy and I don't know if this is a midlife crisis, but I want a divorce.
Right.
He then is like, it's really comedic with him how he deals with it, but then he just kind of rolls over and says, fine, I'm leaving, and he moves out of the house. Right? He doesn't fight for her, he doesn't try.
Right.
There's nothing, you know.
Right.
And there was a come back to later in the movie, his son, who's 13, is like adorable, and he's like this wise kid who believes in love and love is so important and he's like a cheerleader for love, right?
Right.
And he's in love with his babysitter who's a 17-year-old.
Really?
It's so adorable. And so his son is saying, like, you know, to his dad at one point, they're playing catch, and the dad and Steve Carell is like, the kid asks him how he's doing. He says he's okay. And he said, you know, I did all I could do. And the son's like, no, you didn't, Dad. You didn't fight for her. You didn't fight for your soulmate.
Really?
Yeah, he says this to his dad. And Steve Carell is like, he's like, who are you? He says that to him. He's like, who are you? But then he has, after that, he realizes, like, that he didn't fight for her. And he let it go.
Mm.
He let the marriage go a long time ago. He didn't try.
Right.
And he admits this to Julianne Moore later on in the movie. He says, I don't know what went wrong. I don't know why I stopped fighting for you.
Mm.
And he goes, I'm very mad at you for what you did. And I blame you for that. But I blame myself for letting it go.
Mm.
And it was so great to hear that from like a man. Because she was beautiful. I mean, she was skinny. She didn't, you know, and I mean, obviously it's two-way street. They both, you know, screwed up along the way.
Right.
But it was nice to hear that from a guy. Like, he was like, I let it go.
Uh-huh.
And I think that happens in a marriage a lot, especially like with women, like they let themselves go. Like
That's
you were
true.
Saying.
Yeah.
But, and it does happen. It does, you know, it does happen a lot in marriage with women more.
It does, you know, and then one morning you get up and you go, where's the woman I married? It was, you know,
mm-hmm.
She's not the same.
Trust me, women say the same thing too. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Who is this fat, beer-bellied, bald man sitting next to me?
That's not who I'm married.
That is not what I signed up for. If you could have shown me a picture at my wedding of what you would look like in 10 years, I probably wouldn't have signed up for this. I would have probably walked. Just saying. No, it's not like looks are everything. I mean, I like dorky guys too, but, you know, not like I want my husband to have like a beer gut and like.
Yeah. It's not attractive.
No. Who? I mean, a little belly is okay. I don't, you know, they don't have to. I don't like guys that are too put together.
Right.
But it's just, you know, I mean, whatever. I don't know. I mean, who am I to say? I'm freaking single. Who knows? I don't even know. I don't even know what I want. My life is so screwed up. I need somebody to help me. I just want to crawl into a hole right now.
What do you need help with? Maybe we can help
you. No, I am so beyond messed up. I have so many trust issues. I am probably going to start crying if I talk about this, but I am so scared of being vulnerable with people. I am like, I can't handle it. I can't handle if people leave me. I can't
really?
Do it.
So you get attached?
I do, but it's like, I don't ever, being hurt after my marriage, even though I left my husband, and being hurt after my relationship, I swore I would never be hurt like that again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, can't do it. Not going to open up. you know.
That's true, yeah. And then you have to work yourself, you know, back to being able to trust people.
I have such trust issues. It's crazy.
Really?
Like, I don't trust anybody. I don't trust anybody.
Wow, but you have to understand that not everybody is the same. Not everybody's going to screw you the way your husband did, you know. I mean, there's some people, and if there are, then don't waste your time with them, you know. I mean, you can't. I'm pretty picky when it comes to friends, and maybe that's why I don't have that many, because I expect them to be like me.
Yeah.
And many people are not. They're self-involved. They, you know, they're not trustworthy and everything, and I can't stay friends with someone like that.
Yeah.
You know, although from what I hear, you sometimes have to look the other way and just, you know, and just keep going if you don't want to lose all your friends.
Right.
But I'm too picky with that. But I understand what you're saying, although what I'm saying is you can't live in fear all your life either.
No, I know this, and this is why spiritually, if I can speak, for me, I work on myself on a daily basis. But, for me, everything was so bad after, you know, my ex that I thought that I was never going to be okay again. And, you know, women do tend to do this. Women tend to, things are a little bit more dramatic than they really are, as my father always points out to me and my mother, you know, that we create that. But, you know, we are such emotional creatures. And I feel like look, I'm also scared because I've hurt people in the past that, you know what I mean? That I think that if I can do it, they can do it. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not just like what they did to me. It's also what I've done to other people. I'm not perfect.
Okay.
Like I've screwed people royally. You know, I'm not proud of it. But what I'm saying is so I have that mindset too, that it's like, since I've hurt people in the past, they're going to turn around and hurt me just as bad.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm kind of like sitting there waiting for that to happen, which is a crappy place to be.
Yeah. Like waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah. Like, and I shoot myself in the foot, and I'm terrified to feel really anything and open up and be vulnerable. And I hate it. I hate it.
You're living in fear. That's what it is. And you have to tell yourself that you won't get anywhere living in fear.
I know.
It's a very lonely place to live.
I know.
Right?
Oh, I've lived in it for a long time. And I've done a lot of damage to myself and to other people. And I just don't...
Yeah, you need to find a loving relationship where you can start trusting people again.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You're not trusting people. That's what you're saying.
I'm not at all.
Yeah.
I don't
trust. And that's hard. I mean, that gets in the way of relationships for sure.
There's two people I trust in my life, you know, where it's really my two best friends, you know, Lauren and Cecile, those two people I trust with everything that, you know, for me, that's all. And that's hard. It's hard. It sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. And LA doesn't really offer a big variety.
No, they don't.
Of people that you can really trust.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we've got millions of people here. I'm sure you'll find some people that are cool. It's just you need to find them. You know?
I know. And I need to be open to it. And to be honest, I don't know. I you know, there's that hurt part of me, that fearful part of me that just wants to, shut my heart out forever and just not get close to anybody again. And I think that...
Yeah, I know. Okay, we'll change the topic. Okay.
Thank you.
Enough of analyzing Stephanie for one day.
You can analyze the hell out of me. I just have to not be emotional about it.
It's okay. It's obviously a big deal, and I can see where it can get in the way. But anyway, let's move on to new words in the dictionary.
Ooh.
And the Oxford Dictionary just added a few words, and I wanted to go over them. Cyberbullying, of course, you know, the use of electronic communication to bully a person. Then we have jeggings. Have you heard of jeggings?
Yeah.
Really?
I have.
What is it?
They're the leggings, the jean leggings.
Right.
Yeah, I know what they are.
Jeggings.
I know exactly.
I never heard of that. And this is one that's obvious. It's mankini.
A man?
A brief one-piece bathing garment for men with a tea bag. A tea bag.
Who would want to do that?
Wow.
Who would
That sounds like a G-string with a tea bag, right?
No. The tea bag is on the top. It's like it comes in.
Oh, is that what it is?
Do you know what I mean? Like the two, they go over the shoulders and they come to a T in the back, so it's just one strip. Does that make sense?
Oh, so I thought it's just like the bottom of the bikini or something.
No, they would say G-string or thong.
Yeah.
Unless the T
stands for thong.
So
it's not just the bottom, so they're covered on the top as well?
I mean, I could be totally wrong. Yeah, they're covered on the top, but like a one piece, they said?
Uh-huh.
So a one piece outfit with the T-back. Usually a T-back is... where the two straps come together in the back down
right,
as one.
Right.
But they could be talking about a thong, and I don't even know that.
Yeah. I don't know. They're not saying that, but a teabag.
Because I would think they would say thong or G-string if they were talking about that, right?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah, it's the back, because the teabag is the back, and then it comes to a T.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, that makes
sense. That's so gross. Who wears this? Not my husband. Who the F would wear that? And who is a woman that would want to see a man in that? I would never, ever. I don't even want to see a man in Speedos.
Yeah. I mean, who's the nerd to invent such a thing, you know? If they think they're going to sell
it. Yeah, who would invent it? Who would buy it? I mean, none of it makes any sense.
Maybe they're trying to make it into a fashion or something, you know?
For what?
Thinking.
Men don't have to be covered on the top. So why cover? I mean, some of them should never take off their shirts, be honest. But, like, why cover that? Like, I don't understand that. Like, women, we have to because of our boobs, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that is. Then they have sexting, which we all know what that is.
Yep, sure do. And so does, what's his name? What's his name?
Wiener.
Yeah. He knows exactly what sexting is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he was sexting. He was tweeting, right? I mean, he was on...
Well, he was showing naked pictures of him, right?
Right, but sexting is like with a cell phone. When he sent text that has
But
to
he
do
was
with
Twittering.
Sex.
It could have been from a cell phone.
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
There we go. Either or.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But, I mean, teenagers do this shit all the time.
Sexting?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these girls, they take, like, naked pictures of themselves and send it to boys.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, I know. Vanessa Hutchins did it to Zac Efron. The Disney kids.
Remember? That.
It was like a big scandal. And she got, like, immediately somebody found it at Disney and, like, pulled it almost. Like, I think a couple, like, I think, you know, a couple thousand people saw it. Mm. But, like, it was pulled so quickly. And she had to, like, go do this. You know, she'd apologize, and it was just for her and Zach and blah, blah, and whatever. But it's like, if you're a big star like that, you know people are hacking into your account. Like, you have to not send stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay.
Yeah, don't do it. And, you know, I mean, either way, just don't do the fucking thing, you know? I mean, what's the point in this? You know, use the internet. I think it's a lot easier and, well, maybe it's the same thing.
She was sending it from her computer. It's not, it's just, in
true,
no
yeah.
way, I mean, look, if you're a star, if you're that big of a star, you shouldn't be,
doing
you shouldn't
this,
be doing that. Because you know
But what about the normal girls, the ordinary girls? Shouldn't they,
Fuck, do it. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Fuck, do it.
I don't know, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's just, whatever, people are going to do it. If it's, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing unless they're like underage and they're doing it, you know, to older
Well,
guys.
They are underage.
Okay.
I mean, all these girls, like 14-year-old girls sending. I'm not saying they're sending it to adults necessarily, but to kids their age, you know, maybe a little older, but still under 18.
Well, I mean, God, you know, what if a 14-year-old girl sends it to a 14-year-old boy?
Right, and it doesn't happen all the time.
Right. Is that okay?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's crazy. It's crazy.
But I, you know, it's
You know, it's
like,
one
but,
thing.
But it's like, look, we live in a sexual society. Porn is all over the place. Like,
right.
I just, it's, you
but
know
14-year-olds should not be taking nude pictures of themselves.
14-year-olds are having sex.
I know, but they're sending it to the whole school, and then it goes on the internet, and
well,
everybody sees it.
Let's hope they're not sending it to the whole school.
All they need to is one person and then piss them off.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And
like,
that
if you do a sex tape, you're going to want to keep the sex tape.
Yeah.
Not your ex. Because that just is a disaster.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally understand.
Okay, Stephanie.
All right, Sammy. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.